With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Good, have a good day. We appreciate you being with us. We're happy to be here every single weekday morning, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific, on the ever-expanding CBS Sports Radio Network. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. It's a Trash Tuesday, everybody, which means we want to know what's bugging you. What is it that you woke up today and you thought about and you were immediately in a bad mood? What's something that happened over the weekend that stuck in your craw? What is something or someone that just by thinking of them puts you in a bad Tuesday situation mentally? Think of that and let me know. Get it off your chest. Vent here safely and in a healthy fashion by tweeting at me, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS or on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Here come the trashes. Tom tweets, "Hey, DA, it's Tom in New Hampshire. I'm trashing the Derby party guests who left half-full beers all over his house. If you open it, finish it. Trash them."
Charlie Sheen just dumped that on the set of Men at Work.
There is nothing as aggravating as inviting a bunch of friends or family over to your house, cooking for them, getting food for them, getting it catered, bringing in food and drinks, going to the beer depot or the supermarket or the liquor store, getting them drinks, making sure that everybody is taken care of. And then you're walking around your own party going, "Man, somebody took one sip out of that beer and left it on the table. Man, somebody took one bite out of that sandwich and left it on the couch over there. Man, somebody took one sip of that mixed drink that had two shots of bourbon in it and left it." I'm with you. If you go to somebody's house and they were nice enough to pay for all of your food or drink, at least finish the beer you opened. Hey, even if it's a soda or a bottled water, you walk around, you're like, "If I just wanted you all to drink one sip out of your bottled water, put the cap back on and leave it around my yard, I would have just brought out the tap water for you, heathens." I'm with you, Tom. Here is Scroopy Noopers, who tweets, "DA, I'm trashing the person who holds the door open when I'm 30-plus feet away. Great. Now I've got to do that slow, awkward jog to the door and then hold open the next set of doors for you. This whole thing could have been avoided. Hashtag, next time, just go in." Trash them.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
When somebody's holding that door for you from a distance, you got to start waddling like you're Mac Jones on draft night. It's like that kind of pseudo hustle. I mean business. I see ya. I'm coming. It's awkward. Mac Jones looked awkward. I look awkward. You look awkward. The person holding the door looks awkward. I got you. Coming. I'll be right. Hold on. Be right there. Move. I'm moving. I see it. Got it. Oh, thanks. Thanks. Hit me up with your trashes on Twitter. DA on CBS. So we had this quote yesterday from LeBron James where he said, I don't know who came up with this bleep, but he should be fired, about the NBA play-in tournament. Here's the way that it's going to go. Because of the condensed 72-game schedule, the NBA has decided, like last year, to add a little zest to the proceedings. The 7 seed will play the 8 seed. The winner automatically into the NBA playoffs. The 9 seed will play the 10 seed. The loser out. The winner of 9-10 plays the loser of 7-8. So if you're the 7 or the 8, you got 2 shots to make the playoffs. If you're a 9 or a 10, you've got to win both games to make the playoffs. LeBron doesn't like this. LeBron's looking at the Lakers cratering. LeBron's looking at his health once again. That high ankle sprain, taking him out yet again. And says he doesn't like it. Whoever came up with it needs to be fired. We had Luka Doncic not long ago also say the same thing. You play 72 games to make the playoffs. And then you got 2 games where you could be erased out of it. But here's the thing. There's 2 parts of this where LeBron is missing the boat. Number one is that not long ago, LeBron actually liked this idea. There's been audio of a podcast or a video chat that's gone viral where LeBron a couple of years ago or last year loved this idea, suggesting that, hey, if you are the 9 or the 10 seed, you should have a shot at winning your way into the playoffs. If you're the 9 or the 10, why not? Prove it on the floor. So here's LeBron when it wasn't him saying, yeah, this idea is great. And now when it is him saying, I hate this idea. So there's some hypocrisy there. I think that probably goes for a lot of players. They're like, well, you just don't like it because you're in it. But if you were 1 through 6, you'd be like, yeah, that's a good idea. And if you were 9 or 10, you'd think it's a good idea. The only people that don't think it's a good idea is 7 or 8. That's the only team that don't like this. Everybody else thinks, yeah, it's smart. Here's the second part, though. What has happened throughout the course of LeBron's history and the course of, really, NBA history in general? The 7 or the 8 or the 9 seed are basically battling or qualifying to get swept in the first round or have a short stay. It has been very few and far between. Dikembe Mutombo's Nuggets over the Sonics, the Baron Davis Warriors. Very few and far between that the 8 seed has any shot against the 1 seed. Very, very, very few over the course of history. So we know that 8-1 almost never happens, and almost basically the same thing with 7-2. 7-2 has happened a little bit more, but by and large, we don't even pay attention to those series because we know it's automatically advance the 1 seed, advance the 2 seed. So what's the use in battling for the 7 or 8, or if you're the 7 or 8 or 9? What you're basically doing is just saying, eh, why even bother getting in there? You'd rather be in the lottery. And here you are incentivizing the belief that if you're fighting your way into it, you've got to earn it. And so you want to be there because you believe that, you know what? There's a chance. Why else would you fight to make the 7 or the 8 seed? And in an NBA that has been knocked down because of all of this load management, Too many games that don't matter. All of these stars are sitting out games because they have decided you don't have to play 82. And all of these GMs and coaches have stood by and supported that now. We're resting guys, we're sitting guys because you don't have to play every game of the 82. And now we're finding a way late in the season to say, hey, it matters if you're the 7 or the 8. You want to be the 7 or the 8. This gives you some juice. It gives you some momentum. It gives you some life. You should fight for the 7 or the 8 seed. And these games matter. There's not too many games. There's too few games. There's not enough games to decide who the 8 teams of the playoffs are. So we need to allow a mini tournament here. You're kind of solving two problems with this. You're giving juice and life to the fringe teams that never had any reason to believe. And you're telling your audience, your fan base, your viewers, no, there's more games that matter. Not less, not fewer. Here's more games that matter. So if you're LeBron, I think you really got to rethink. And he kind of said it flippantly. He was talking about just basically where they are and the injuries and what the Lakers season looks like. And he kind of off the cuff just said, we're going to have to play in the playing game or whatever. Whatever idea that was should be fired. And I think that was kind of more of a frustration with his injury, his health, and the losing that the Lakers have done more than I think the actual thinking hard about the mini tournament, because I think the mini tournament actually makes a lot of sense for the NBA. I do. I think it makes a lot of sense. I think last year we got some good juice out of it, and that was the bubble, and that was a shortened season. That was, okay, play your way in. And I think that kind of the same thing's going to happen this year, and I think when we get there, it's going to be good. For the teams at 7 or 8, yeah, you don't want to be caught in that no man's land. But for the 9 or 10, you love it. And for the audience, I think it's going to be good theater. And LeBron should be reminded that not long ago he actually defended this and thought it was a good idea because he was supporting the 9 or the 10 having a chance to win your way in. Suddenly that doesn't sound so good when you're the 7 or the 8. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number. 855-212-4227. Mraz, do you think it's going to be good juice for the NBA to have this play-in tournament?
I think when we get to the nights that they actually happen, they will. But as it stands right now, I do think it's a bit of a waste of time. I understand where LeBron's coming from for a little bit. And I think it speaks to everything you just teed off on when talking about how rare it is. I firmly believe this. You and I will go our entire lives without seeing basically the winners of these play-in tournaments end up in and win NBA finals. So I think, yeah, it provides a little immediate juice. I think the gamblers will be into it. I think there'll be kind of that one-game excitement the way baseball's captured with the wild card. But I think long-term, if you could look at it long-term picture-wise of the postseason, it really is meaningless because of the way the NBA is structured.
Okay, so that's interesting because last year we had the play-in tournament, and we had the bubble, and we had a Heat team kind of come out of nowhere to make it all the way to the NBA Finals as a 5 seed. So that Heat team at 5 didn't give you any more hope that maybe there could be a bracket buster in NBA history?
I think last year in the bubble is a little bit different because everything was so crazy. Everything was so different. Not to say that the Heat didn't deserve to get there. The Heat definitely were in a situation where they probably clicked a lot better in the bubble, had come together chemistry-wise more so than they had earlier in that regular season with Jimmy Butler. But I think relating anything to what happened in the bubble is a crazy outlier, and once the NBA gets into more regular form, if this is something that continues, the NBA will look more like it always has, and I think we will look at the bubble as an outlier year.
So let me ask you, here's the 7, 8, 9, 10s, okay? In the Eastern Conference, the 7 and 8 right now will be the Celtics or the Hornets. Do you think that the Celtics, who have always had higher expectations than what the reality was this year, or a Hornets team that would hypothetically have a healthy LaMelo Ball, could end up beating one of the top seeds of the East and maybe going on a bit of a run to the playoffs?
I think there's a 0.0% chance they would beat any of the top three, Brooklyn, Milwaukee, or Philadelphia. Where that has juice, though, is if the Celtics were to fail to make the round of eight. That's where you have a little juice going, oh my goodness, is Brad Stevens Celtics not even going to make the regular playoffs at eight? But in reality, with that juice, what does it translate to? And I don't think anybody could expect the Celtics now to make a run to an NBA Finals.
Celtics has a seven seed that maybe have to win a game to force their way in, doesn't have any chance against the Sixers or the Nets or the Bucks in your mind.
I don't. Not these Celtics. I don't see it at all. Now, it'll get eyeballs. It'll be a juicy first-round series, but I don't think they'd get through.
So in the West, the 7-8 seeds right now would be the Blazers and Warriors, and then the 9-10 Grizzlies Spurs. You don't think a Blazers team with Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum and Carmelo could maybe catch fire and win a couple of rounds? They got a young Suns team in the first round, perhaps, as the 7 seed. Maybe they get the Jazz. The Jazz are unproven in the playoffs. Or a Warriors team with Steph Curry playing out of his mind. No chance.
This is where I eat my words a little bit. If it's ever going to happen, this would be the kind of year, due to the Western Conference injuries, whether it be Jamal Murray, whether it be what's going on with the Lakers, do we trust the Jazz, do we trust the Suns? The Blazers haven't gone to a Western Conference final just a couple years ago. I don't think we're fully buying even on Steph Curry and the Warriors being able to make it through. The Blazers could be that team that makes me eat my words, but ultimately I would still say no.
So this will be interesting. We'll see as the playoffs begin, but if the Blazers or the Warriors or somebody else was a 7 or an 8 and then made a run and kind of broke open the brackets and had this kind of out of nowhere chase to an NBA Finals, then LeBron would look pretty silly there as well, because it would prove that the 7 or the 8 definitely could do it, could make it at least interesting. So we'll see about that when the playoffs begin. When we come back here on the show, it is a Trash Tuesday, and so let's do it. Coming up here next, bring your trashes as well on Twitter, DA on CBS, or on the phones at 855-212-4227. It's Trash Tuesday here on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
All right, on a Trash Tuesday, let us know what's bugging you. Tweet at me, DA on CBS, or on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. Again, 855-212-4227. Jeffrey tweets, yo, DA, I'm trashing people who double park next to open spaces like they don't have time to swing into those spots. That drives me insane, especially on a one-way street, and I'm stuck behind those clowns. I hate it. Trash them.
That deserves a trash can emoji.
If you've got trashes, let's do it. Again, at 855-212-4CBS. Alex tweets, DA, today I'm trashing the Force. Why use that old fancy wizard magic when you have a trusty blaster at your side? Trash it!
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
All right, Mraz, who are you trashing this morning?
DA, with spring here, it should be time to just be able to enjoy being outside, open up the windows in the house. Only I can't continue to do it and live this way because my allergies are worse than ever. I don't understand why allergies exist. Everything is covered with pollen. I went to bed at 7:45 p.m. last night because you can even hear it in my throat. The back of my throat is scratchy. I can't breathe in all of this stuff. My eyes are getting puffy. My nose doesn't stop running. It's nothing but allergies because I feel like everywhere I look, there's just yellow or green on every dark surface, including my car. Pollen is everywhere, and I just want to enjoy the nice weather, but I can't freaking breathe with all of this stuff going on. Trash it.
Trash it.
So frustrating.
The punishment of pollen hitting us all here in early May. Standing by on your headline of this morning, in for AB, is Brad Heller, dessert coordinator. Brad Heller, who are you trashing today?
DA, I'm going dessert for this trash today.
Oh, no.
I was at a new ice cream store opened up in the neighborhood. So I went, of course, I'm waiting online, and I hear the person in front of me order cookie dough. And the guy behind the counter's like, Well, you know, just to let you know, the cookie dough's kind of been buried to the bottom of the container, so it's really just vanilla and chocolate chips, just an FYI. It'd take a really long time to get out the cookie dough. So the person ordered something else. So I step up. There's a woman waiting on me, and I'm pretending I didn't hear that conversation. I said, you know what? I said, this cookie dough looks good, and she says the same thing. She goes, well, you know what? She goes, I can try and get it out for you. It might take a little bit. I'm like, you know what? Give it a shot. Give it a few seconds, see what happens. So she takes out the entire bin out of the freezer, off to the side. Not even 10 seconds later, she goes, oh, I found the cookie dough. So my man, whose job it is to scoop ice cream, didn't want to put in the extra work to find the cookie dough. So pretty much let him know that his female employee worked a little bit harder to make it happen, doing her job, which is scooping ice cream in an ice cream store.
Trash them!
Household waste goes in this bin.
Let me ask you, dessert coordinator, could you go for chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream at 7:25 a.m. Eastern time?
I'm not going to lie. I've sampled it before. Not as like the main course for breakfast, but maybe just to wet the taste buds a little bit.
Whereas if I put little it in energy. Front of you, chocolate chip cookie dough ice cream, could you eat it right now at 7:30 a.m.?
There's not a question in my mind I could have ice cream right now. In fact, I don't understand how that isn't a breakfast, but a muffin or a croissant or something like that is. We've had cinnamon buns. We've had sweets for breakfast. Why not regulate ice cream for breakfast?
It does.
I mean, there's Cookie Crisp. There's Cookie Crisp cereal.
I was going to say, that's a pretty close comparison to Cookie Crisp cereal because it's milk and chocolate chip cookies. And so how much different is ice cream and chocolate chip cookie dough? Heller, you might be onto something. This might be the big thing. Let's make chocolate chip cookie dough cereal, but the milk is ice cream.
I mean, if you pour a bowl of Cookie Crisp with milk and put it in the freezer for 20 minutes, that's basically cookie dough ice cream, isn't it?
I could go for it, too. I love chocolate chip cookie dough, and I think right now I absolutely could go for that. Whereas, were you ever a Cookie Crisp cereal fan?
Yes. In fact, I was such a fan that I ended up transitioning to Oreo O's. They became a big cereal of mine because I'm more of an Oreo fan than a chocolate chip cookie fan at times. And I used to have dueling. I would do a bowl of each at times. I don't know why my parents would let me do that. And then you wonder how I get this way when I'm older. But yeah, any cookie-related item that you could fake your way into something else, it's probably why I love Pop-Tarts as well, is an absolute disgrace, but I'm all about it.
Once we had Cookie Crisp cereal on the store shelves, basically we had punted on kids' nutrition. It's like, yeah,
over.
you can just eat mini chocolate chip cookies for breakfast. It's fine. Have as many as you want. I mean, we're just, because if you've ever had it, it is just chocolate chip cookies. It is just those mini chocolate chip cookies.
And then people question why people in their 30s and 40s love egg white omelets so much. Yeah, because we buried our face in Cookie Crisp growing up that we have no choice now.
Pete the Body Bellotti, who are you trashing?
Well, D.A., I am trashing cars that shouldn't be at car shows. Oh. There's a car show near me in my new town, and I drive by it every Sunday because I go to get breakfast and tea and whatnot. And there is at least, every Sunday, there's at least five cars at this car show in a row with just spoilers on their car, and they shouldn't even be in the car show. The cars are dented. The cars aren't even
dented?
In good shape, and they think they're styling because they have a spoiler on the back of their car. Get them out.
Illegal dumping.
So this budget cut rate car show is just bringing in dented old cars that aren't even cool, but putting spoilers on the cars, and so they're just automatically in. They're like the automatic berth out of the Sun Belt.
Yeah, and they're basically they're having tailgates behind it. It looks terrible. It's in a parking lot of a train station, so you're basically wasting parking spots on these stupid cars.
So here, this is the hook. Here, they are taking up your parking spots.
That's true.
Really,
yes,
bent out of shape.
I get back on the train again, yeah. I need a parking spot. Come on.
So I don't know if you've seen this Starbucks picture that's gone viral, but this is an actual order. This is from somebody that works at Starbucks that took a photo of the order of a Frappuccino that they had to make. And they said, sorry for complaining. I know it's my job, but I just had to vent about this person. Okay, so this is for Edward. Okay, you just see the order that, you know, is taped to the side of the Frappuccino. For Edward, It's a Vermont Caramel Crunch Frappuccino. Edward has asked for 5 banana squirts. I think they're squirts because I don't think he wants 5 bananas in there. It just says 5 banana, but I guess 5 banana squirts. He wants extra caramel drizzle. He wants extra whipped cream. He wants extra ice. Okay, if that's the order, you're already like, oh my God, Edward sucks. He already wants 5 banana squirts, extra drizzle, extra whipped cream, extra ice. But Edward's not done. He wants an extra cinnamon dollop top. He wants 7 pumps specifically of added dark caramel sauce. 7 pumps. He wants extra caramel crunch as well. Now you're like, okay, Edward's the worst person ever. This guy's a serial killer. Who would ever want this specific extras on his coffee? This is just the worst. But Edward's not done. He also wants 1 pump of honey blend. He wants extra salted something butter. He wants 5 pumps of Frappuccino roasted coffee squirt. Again, I don't even know how you could know, unless you're in a science lab dipping and dropping every bit of this, that any of this would taste different than 6 pumps or 4 pumps or no honey blend or no extra dollop. He also wants 7 added Frappuccino chips. He wants heavy cream and he wants it double blended. This is an order from May the 1st. This was Saturday. So this picture has gone viral over the last 72 hours. Edward sucks. And the Edwards of the world that put the poor people behind Starbucks through the ringer for something like this deserve to be hogtied and slapped around a little bit. Could you imagine walking up to a Starbucks line and this being your order? Hi, yeah, I need a Vermont caramel crunch Frappuccino. Okay, but I want 5 banana squirts, and I want extra caramel drizzle. Oh, and add extra whipped cream and extra ice, extra cinnamon dollop top. I need 7 pumps of dark caramel sauce, an extra caramel crunch, 1 pump of the honey blend, extra salted butter in it, 5 pumps of Frappuccino roasted coffee, 7 added Frappuccino chips, heavy cream. Oh, and I need that double blended. These people are making $12 an hour. Could you imagine asking them to do this for you? Like, if you've got that order, make it yourself. At home, buy your own Frappuccino machine, do your whole blender thing, and be the Willy Wonka of Caramel Crunch Frappuccinos. Do not ask other people to do this for you. It is humiliating to them. It is aggravating for everybody in line behind you, and you are a pathetic putz. It is, we are not, the entire world is here to cater to your 7 pumps. I'm sorry. We're just not. The poor people at these establishments, I tell you, at food establishments, they get it the worst. The absolute worst. Could you imagine getting an order that's like, oh, and you need 7 added caramel sauce pumps. You pump yourself right out of here, onto the sidewalk. You chump. Edward, and everybody like Edward, you deserve to be trashed.
This must be garbage time.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, or on Twitter, DA on CBS. This at this point has, by the way, 350,000 likes. People know that Edward sucks. Fatty Crackers tweets, you keep reading the Starbucks item, but I have no idea what you're talking about. You might as well be speaking Greek. I know, me too. I don't even know what that means. Top of your headline this morning. Mr. Brad Heller has our headlines. Brad, what do we got?
All right, DA, we'll start in the NBA. LeBron James resting his sore ankle last night, but the Lakers getting help from the supporting cast as they snap their 3-game losing streak.
Brings it into THT. THT dribbles behind his back, down the middle, all the way, reverse layup, no good, rebound, he got it. THT, no, don't shoot it! He made it anyway! Oh, I can't believe he shot it, Michael! The shot clock was off!
Yeah, he didn't, he's young.
And he threw it up and in, and they all look at him like, oh, you're lucky you made that.
Even the Lakers announcers are telling him not to shoot the ball. John Ireland, Michael Thompson with the call on Lakers radio, but the Lakers win the game 93-89. Talen Horton-Tucker had 10 points off the bench. Anthony Davis, 25 for the Lakers. Again, they snapped their three-game losing streak. What Russell Westbrook, a career-high 21 rebounds. He tied his career-high with 24 assists. In another triple-double, Wizards beat the Pacers 154-141. Westbrook locking up a triple-double average for the fourth time in his career. Steph Curry again going off for the Warriors against the Pelicans.
Double team finds JTA back to Curry. Curry, little daylight, steps out for a three look, and it's nothing but net for Curry. He's got 36. It's a 13-3 run in this game of ebbs and flows, and it's a 16-point Warrior lead.
Tim Roy on Warriors Radio. Steph Curry, 41. Zion Williamson, 32. Warriors beat the Pelicans 123-108. The Sixers have won five straight, 106-94 over the Bulls. Philadelphia now with a one-game lead on Brooklyn for the top spot in the Eastern Conference. The Jazz regain the lead for the top spot in the West by themselves. They beat the Spurs 110-99. Utah's a half game up on Phoenix. Carmelo Anthony passing Elvin Hayes for 10th on the all-time scoring list, but the Blazers lost to the Hawks 123-114. Some baseball injuries of note. Dodgers pitcher Dustin May needs Tommy John surgery. White Sox outfielder Luis Robert, a torn hip flexor. He'll be out at least 3 to 4 months. Christian Yelich returned from the injured list for the Brewers. He had two hits, but the Brewers lost to the Phillies 4-3. The Cardinals stay hot. They've won five straight.
And that ball is hit hard and deep. And that is gone. Big fly, Nolan Arenado. There's a moment for you. A three-run shot, and we're tied at five.
That call courtesy of Cardinals Radio. A four-run third inning for the Cardinals. They won their fifth straight. They beat the Mets 6-5. After the game, the Mets firing their hitting coaches, Chili Davis and Tom Slater. The Angels lost to the Rays 7-3, but Shohei Ohtani did hit his ninth home run, tying for the Major League lead. From the NFL, the Cowboys declining the fifth-year option for linebacker Leighton Vander Esch. He's missed 13 games over the last two seasons because of injuries. The Oilers clinching a playoff berth in the NHL as they beat the Canucks 5-3, a four-point night for Connor McDavid. The Bruins clinch a playoff spot as they shut out the Devils. That eliminates the Rangers, who lost to the Capitals. Tom Wilson pummeled both Pavel Buchnevich and Artemi Panarin, infuriating the Rangers. Wilson has been suspended five times by the NHL for various issues and incidents, and this could be number six for Wilson. D.A.
Thank you, Brad. Brad Heller is in all morning long as A.B. is out today. We're taking your phone calls on a Trash Tuesday, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, or on Twitter, D.A. on CBS for your trashes. When we come back, are the Vikings frustrated with Kirk Cousins leading them to draft his replacement? D.A., CBS Sports Radio.
Laugh and learn every morning aboard the mothership.
When you're fat, the butt is the last to get fat. And when you're not, the butt is the first to get plump.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It's words of wisdom every single morning right here on the DA show. 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific. The Player of the Week brought to you by Granger. Taking a look at the one who got it done this week, Russell Westbrook, recording his 178th triple-double of his career. Think about that. 178 triple-doubles. Three behind the all-time record set by the Big O, Oscar Robertson. Also becomes the first player to ever have two 10, 20, and 20 performances. The other guy, Wilt Chamberlain. The Player of the Week, sponsored by Granger for all the ones who get it done. Granger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, backed by 24/7 support and access to product experts. Call, click Granger.com/safety, or just stop by. It's a shame Westbrook has not had more success in the playoffs, because his brilliance is oftentimes overlooked. Think about how crazy that is. To record a triple-double is a difficult achievement, even in today's advanced offensive era. A triple-double is a pretty remarkable achievement. He's done that 178 times. More times than if he did that every game for two straight seasons. Every game for two straight seasons plus. That's how many triple-doubles he has. That's amazing. So with the Minnesota Vikings drafting Kellen Mond, there's been some thought that apparently they are frustrated by Kirk Cousins. They feel like it's time to get ready to move on and that the clock is ticking on Cousins. And I would say this about that. I think the Minnesota Vikings know exactly what they have in Kirk Cousins. And they know that there's a next level to get to, but they haven't had the opportunity or they haven't seen a window to do that. Reportedly, the Vikings were also hoping that Justin Fields fell to them at number 14. Of course, that didn't happen because the Chicago Bears traded up with the Giants and jumped into that spot to grab him. But that Rick Spielman would have been sitting on Justin Fields at number 14. They ended up taking Kellen Mond of the third, early third rounder. If you're the Vikings, you are well aware of what Kirk Cousins is. And I say this all the time. There's got to be some Kirk Cousins in the world. I'm not sure you want Kirk Cousins as your quarterback, but you can't only have an NFL quarterback stature or list that has Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, and then Christian Hackenberg, even though Hackenberg never was a starter. But my point is, you have to have a middle class. There have to be starting quarterbacks that are not Hall of Famers, but that aren't bums. And that's who Kirk Cousins is. He's not a bum. Are you going to win a Super Bowl with him? No. But he's also a guy that has thrown for 4,000 yards five different times in his career. Last year, threw 35 touchdowns against 13 interceptions. If you are plus 22 in touchdowns to INTs, it's a pretty good season. Cousins isn't going to elevate your roster to being greater than it is. He's not a guy that is going to be, look at me, follow me, I'll lead you there. He's not as dynamic as Russell Wilson, not as skilled as Aaron Rodgers, isn't the winner of Tom Brady, isn't as sensational as Patrick Mahomes. But right now, the Texans would kill for Kirk Cousins. For many, many years, the Dolphins or the Bills would have loved to have a Kirk Cousins. You got to have guys like this. They are the Derek Carrs, who were the Matt Schaubs, who were the Jim Everetts. Good, not great, legitimate starting quarterback, gives you a chance to win and go 10-6. That's it. But not everybody's going to be Hall of Famer or a total disaster. There's going to be something in between. That's what Kirk Cousins is. So if you can upgrade over Cousins, if you have that window, you do it. If there is a chance to draft a brilliant QB, and maybe they felt that Justin Fields was that, you do it. But if there's not, you can't just not re-sign Kirk Cousins. You can't just trade away Kirk Cousins without a better solution, or else you turn into the Jaguars. Would you rather have Kirk Cousins or Gardner Minshew? Would you rather have had Kirk Cousins or Blake Bortles? Would you rather have had Kirk Cousins or Blaine Gabbert? I mean, there's bad quarterbacks out there. Lots of them. If Kellen Mond turns into a better QB than Kirk Cousins, great. He was a third-round pick. That's a big win. Cousins was a fourth-round pick. But if he's not, you still have Kirk Cousins, who's good enough, again, to win you 10 games in a playoff game. Much more than that? No. No. Now, was last year's Vikings problems the quarterback? Not really. It was more on the defense. But also, Cousins isn't going to surprise you and shock you by going onto some type of great run and going 12-4 and crushing all types of great teams. I kind of understand where the Vikings are. You're caught in a bit of a no man's land. Good enough to be 10-6, not good enough to be 13-3. Not bad enough to be 3-13. We just heard Brad Heller discuss this ugly situation in hockey with noted goon Tom Wilson. It's almost the playoffs. It's the spring. It's a big hockey story. It means it's time for Canadian bacon.
The sizzle of the best goals. The saltiness of the best games.
He's without a stick. He makes another save. And still another save. And play is stopped.
We crave the nightly action in Edmonton and Toronto of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
It's a hockey, you know. It's only game. Why do you have to be mad? He's a good guy.
It's your morning serving of Canadian bacon. Only on the DA Show.
Well, you have to be mad. He's a good guy. It's good to have the music back. Great to have the sound bites back. And the situation is Tom Wilson has a long history of ugly incidents in the NHL. He is a noted goon. And last night, Capitals forward Tom Wilson crosses the line again as he injures Rangers star Artemi Panarin. And Rangers coach David Quinn says, that's it. The line's been crossed. You can't do that in the Rangers 6-3 loss to Washington. Mraz, take it away. Who's right? Who's wrong? And what should the NHL do with noted goon Tom Wilson?
It should be noted Tom Wilson's already been suspended 7 games this year for a high hit on Brandon Carlo earlier in the year. Last night, a basically meaningless game. The Eastern Division playoffs have been all sewn up. The Rangers were officially eliminated last night, but didn't even need a loss. The Bruins' win did that. What happened here? A scrum in front of the net. Rangers forward Pavel Buchnevich punched in the back of the head. Sucker punched by Tom Wilson. All right, dirty player. You expect that from him. Probably should warrant the suspension, but maybe it wouldn't, knowing the NHL. But instead, Rangers forward Artemi Panarin, who last year was an MVP candidate, a Final Three in that award, ends up getting into a little bit of an altercation with Wilson, defending his teammate, and Wilson takes Panarin's a chunk of his hair, pulls him back, and then decks him onto the ice, where Panarin is so lucky that his shoulder hit the ice first, because as the back of his head hit the ice, as his whiplash effect would have happened from grabbing his hair and throwing him down, that could have been a real catastrophic injury for the NHL on their hands, where we're talking about like career-ending stuff. That's how dangerous it was by Tom Wilson. And again, a multiple repeat offender, already suspended 7 games this year. How much more can the NHL allow a guy like Tom Wilson to get away with? Clearly, 7-game suspensions or long suspensions aren't doing it. He was suspended 3 games in their Stanley Cup run a couple years ago for a high hit. This guy doesn't stop, and I don't know if this isn't the line now where you could grab somebody's hair and nearly kill him throwing to the ice. I don't know where it ends. The NHL needs to speak loudly ahead of the playoffs here with Tom Wilson.
Yep, it was gross. It is totally gross what Wilson does. Again, as he said, he throws the punch into the back of the head of a Ranger player who's already face first down near the ice. So he's throwing a punch into the back of the head of a guy that can slam his forehead off of the ice. In an NHL these days that have tried to eliminate the headshots and guys getting crushed into the boards, neck first, CTE, etc., to have a guy dragged down to the ice and potentially suffer a brutal injury, maybe it's a concussion, maybe it's a set of shoulder, maybe it's a head injury where he never comes back from it, maybe it's a spinal cord injury, it is a devastating potential pitfall that the NHL avoided. Thankfully that Panarin wasn't injured, and like you said, he's a star. I mean, Tom Wilson, how long do you suspend him if you're the NHL, and he's already been suspended this year? 2 weeks? The entire postseason? What do you do?
I would go in the entire postseason because of his history, because clearly everything you have sent a message to him in his career isn't enough. And as you mentioned, you lose a star player like that, or, you know, had, and Panarin's going to miss the last couple games of the season, had the Rangers been in the playoffs and you lost New York's market's biggest player ahead of the playoffs, what would the reaction have been? Because that would have hurt the NHL financially. I think the only way to do this is to suspend him for the postseason. He doesn't get to take part, because clearly nothing else has taught him a lesson in his career.
It is a brutal throwdown by Wilson on Panarin, because he kind of like takes the side of his head and Panarin's helmet falls off and slams it from, they're standing up, they're face to face on their skates, and he takes it, and that's the weight of him dropping 5.5 feet or so down to the ice and slamming him on his shoulder. Like you said, thankfully the shoulder first and not the head first, and Panarin gets up and keeps scrapping, so he was okay. But I think you're right, it's the duration of the postseason, and who knows, maybe into next year. I mean, the NHL has gone to great lengths to eliminate play like this. The goon thing doesn't work anymore in the NHL. So you've got to really throw the gauntlet at him. And I'd be surprised if Bettman allows him to play in the postseason. I think that this is as strong a message as you could possibly send, because it's so obvious. There's no way you can cut it up and kind of rationalize. When we come back on the DA show, how much would Tom Brady give up to have an undefeated season?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.